This spotlight is going to be about the Transcension Gate itself. This baby that we have co-created together with all of us, the human beings that are not so earthling humans, and also with many multi-dimensional beings. So first, let's look at what was the point, as in why did we build this thing? Why is this here now? Okay, so first of all, it's so that we can work with the multidimensional beings that are within the solar system, that are within this planet internally and on the surface, but on different dimensions. So we can work with them. We created essentially an interface. It's like a translation device, something that allows your system to be able to have access frequency-wise to those other beings. Some of you can perceive them more directly, some of you cannot. That is totally fine. That is really not the point. The point is that your energy field is calibrated by the fact of having access to Transcension Gate to frequencies that normally it would not have access to. This gives you the possibility of creation on a completely different level. Because whatever it is that you are intending or constructing or making happen within your own life, you now have support, not just conceptually through understanding of like what can be done or who is out there to help you, but also experientially and actually frequency-wise. If you know it or not, if you sense it or not, if you're fully aware of it or if you're barely aware of it, you're still getting that access and getting that support by the fact of being within the Transcension Gate system. Okay, so another component as to why is so that you can actually learn to differentiate different multidimensional energies. This is something that a lot of times people blend together, you know, like over here we are humans and over there is God. And somehow, or maybe angels at the best. And between here and there, there's just, I don't know, oneness somehow. Well, there's actually many other different beings in between. There are many stages of development. There are many conscious levels. There are many different perceptions of reality. And all of them are kind of like this amazing buffet that you can take from for your own evolution in order to support you. So Transcension Gate is kind of like an access to this kind of energy buffet. It allows you to have all those incredible experiences that otherwise, unless you know exactly that specific frequency, you probably would not be able to even find that energy. You know, so many of the species that we have worked with within Transcension Gate are not commonly involved with human beings. So they are incredible species that have incredible wisdom and can really support your evolution. And it's highly beneficial to know them and have access to that frequency. But without Transcension Gate, it would be, for some of you, probably impossible to even find them because you wouldn't even know how to look. For some of you, you might intuitively be guided and connect, but it definitely helps to be within a system that naturally guides you into that kind of energy, okay? So being able to differentiate those frequencies is huge. And you have been experiencing many, many, many different energies now of different beings. So I definitely invite you to tune in and kind of go through your memory banks of frequency. Like, what does this species feel like? Oh, I remember that we work with these. What do they feel like inside me? So I'm visual, as you know, so that means I can describe to you how something looks and I can tell you a little bit from the standpoint of like what I know of their culture and so on and explain how specific beings are interacting with us. But for some of you who are not visual, please don't think that that is the only way. That is not the only way, something that's actually pretty rare. So most common way is feeling. That is the most common way to perceive energy, through feeling, through some sort of a state of emotion or feeling. So you can look at it sort of like your own inner library of different feelings. Every being brought in specific energy, and that energy evoked a feeling or response within your field. So if you can learn to sort of catalog like, oh, this being felt like that, this kind of species more in that direction, with these I felt like that. Some of you it's body-based, so it's feeling and the body. So you're literally feeling it in the body. For some of you, it might be sound or taste or smell or memory of some sort from your own engagement with these specific beings. All of that is fine. There is no right and wrong way. The key to the entire process is that you consciously pay attention and catalog those different frequencies so that you can call upon them when needed. That's why we're learning different types of vibrations. Each creates a specific resonance. For example, something that, let's say, Pleiadian group brought into Transcension Gate versus something that, let's say, Sasquatch brought into Transcension Gate. Something that beings like Oaum guardians brought here versus, let's say, Warrior Urma. It's all very different. It's applicable to different areas of your life. It's applicable to different experiences you're having. It's applicable to different problems you might need solutions for. So knowing what these frequencies feel like and being able to call upon them, that's part of the benefit of Transcension Gate. It's not something that like, okay, it was a class. Oh yeah, I remember we studied them at some point. This is not an anthropology or science class. This is actually experiential workshop, essentially, of you interacting with those beings. So I know you guys experienced many of them very intimately. Some maybe not so much, depending on your personal relationship that you had with specific species, but all of you experienced some of them deeply. Whatever the ones that are resonated with you, whatever these energies are that made a big difference within you during whatever months far back in time, maybe when that happened, within Transcension Gate, there are still codes for that frequency. And you are connected to Transcension Gate and you have an echo of that frequency within your field. So every time we connect to a different species, there is a homework, there is some assignment for you to interact with it, to experience it. That's why we do those weekly downloads, so that you actually get your energy calibrated to it. So the more you participate consciously, instead of just kind of opening up and saying, okay, I'll just be here and receive, but actually interact, ask questions of it, of these energies, you know. Are you here for this? Am I experiencing this? Is this in Ma'at? How do I do that? Like having more and more of that, doesn't matter what kind of answer you get. You might get it mentally and clearly, or you might just get a feeling or intuitive kind of a sense. But all of that builds your vocabulary. That's how we become masterful. Mastery is not something that happens to you. Mastery is something that we earn. We earn through inner work. That's why it's called work, right? Spiritual work. Well, it's work. It takes effort. When we don't apply effort, we go to entropy. We just go into just like sliding along whatever our karmic programming is. But if we apply effort, we wake up. And waking up, I mean, to what you wake up to the next level of you. So by applying effort, you become more conscious. And that means applying effort in every moment. Effort, though, does not need to be hard. This is one thing that our lower selves have such a misconception about. Like, oh, over here it's easy and effort, oh, that's hard. No. Over here, it's easy only because lower self doesn't have to change. When actually, if you look at your life, if you're living in the lower self, there's nothing easy about it, right? It's actually pretty difficult. On another hand, over here, there is effort, yes. So the lower self says that means it's hard. When actually, it's not hard. It's joyful. It's exciting. It's sort of like a uplifting momentum that starts taking you along, and you're facing the challenge, you're feeling brave, you're diving deep into something, you're applying whatever you've learned. So that is effort, but from the actual view on your life, that is easier. That is being in flow, that thing that everybody talks about, I want to be in flow. Well, that's how you get in flow, by applying effort, not by effortless kind of floating. So that's why it's so important to have a conscious interaction and recall of some of the energies that you have played with. You want to utilize them as tools, not just use them for your entertainment as a, okay, that was interesting, we met somebody called, I don't know, Oaum. Yeah, but Oaum is about the void. It's about the potential of everything in the quantum field that is unrealized yet. Those beings are the bridge between the other side of reality and this one as what we know as material universe. So imagine what kind of power is there for creation. So if you're trying to manifest a car, let's say, or whatever it is that you might want, or a partner or something in your life, In order to do that, you actually need that kind of energy. So that does not mean inviting a womb to be your guide and help you, because obviously they're too big and that's not what they do. They don't interact individually. But as an example, what that would mean is calling upon that energy. It does not translate like, oh, I need help, so I'm going to go to somebody who's going to help me. That's a child way of thinking, right? I'm going to invite them and now a Pleiadian or an Urma is going to help me. No, they're busy. They're not going to help because that's not what they're here for. It's our job to help ourselves. They will not be rescuing us. But if we are standing in our power and saying, hey, I'm amazing. I know my value. I own the passion and compassion in my heart. I want to create this car or relationship because I want to experience something, not because I want to not feel anymore like I'm alone or lonely or not feel good enough. That would be a negative thing, so nobody's going to help you with that kind of a creation because it's lower self-desire. But if it's a higher self-desire, like let's say I want this car or this relationship or this whatever it is that you desire in your life, this awakening next level, not out of not enoughness because somehow then I will be something, you know, better or more conscious or enough, but because I want to experience that, because I'm so curious about what would it feel like to drive that car or to have a partner that actually can reflect me fully or to be able to interact with my guides consciously, and I'm open to what that looks like, and then invite whatever frequency that you learned could be of support. So for this example, I'll use the OAUM because they are the least likely to interact one-on-one because they don't actually have a one, so they don't interact individually. But they were sort of a magic that even showed up in our Transcension Gate in the first place. But we'll use them as an example because they the most unlikely guide. So in that situation, if you're standing in your power and you're standing in this amazing joy and curiosity, you are starting from abundance. You're already in syntropy. You're already saying, hey, I'm enough. I got everything I need. I'm part of oneness. But I really would love to experience that new car. I really would like to know what it feels like to be with a person who can reflect me and love me deeply, and I can reflect to him or her that. Or I really want to experience interaction with my guides, not just by sensing them sort of vaguely, but a little bit more consciously. I'm so curious what that would feel like. Great. Then you invite the frequency of OAO. Not literally them personally, but you tune in to them and you have in Transcension Gate Library that energy imprint. And you feel this vastness of the alive void. And you bring that vastness of alive void into your own existence in that moment. As you're holding the intention of curiosity and wonder, what would that feel like if I had blank? And that potential that comes from what OAUM represent then ends up amplifying within you something. So you hold that for a certain period of time and then you move on. And then maybe you remember throughout the time, as every time you intent on that, you bring in that energy. That is like giving rocket fuel to your ability to create. But if we don't do that and instead we do this out of scarcity, like, oh, I want somebody to come in and help me, so which guide can I ask? That's why nobody comes, not because you're doing something wrong and or you're not worthy or whatever, but because if the energy is of scarcity, of not enoughness, and we're looking for someone to come in to either rescue us or to fill in the hole that we're feeling, that's nobody's going to come because it's against universal law, right? Pleiadians tried and look how well that worked out for them, right? They got stuck here. So it's not something that higher species do. And we interact only with these kinds of species. If I was teaching you guys something like, you know, basic magic, like interacting with entities that are of a lower realm, like astral entities, or even some of the fourth dimensional entities, or second and first dimensional entities, then yeah, there is exchange. You give them something, they give you something. And with the darker ones, you have to kind of like give them part of your soul and whatever. So that's not a good idea, but let's say that one works in a way that you can ask from the lower self and still get support, which, you know, the payment, the price is not always the best, so you don't actually get support, but let's just say it looks like you do. But that kind of an interaction, that's a child-parent interaction. It's saying, I can, somebody come in and help me. So it's essential that if we are in mastery, we're actually interacting from the higher self place, when it's not about sort of this lower level magic of exchange back and forth, which I guess the more positive component would be working with the fairy kingdom or working with some of the nature spirits or with the elementals. That's where you give a gift sort of, and then they can give you a gift. So there's an exchange still going on, because that's the lower energies. There has to be balance of exchange, which is much more literal than with the higher ones that are just more of service. But at least it's positive. But then that can quickly go into the incorrect direction. So you really want to make sure that all the energies you have learned in Transcension Gate, you are utilizing actually correctly. And like in the first place, you're just utilizing them instead of thinking of them as, okay, well, I've studied that a year ago. It's like, yeah, you've studied it a year ago so that you have access now. Every single one of the beings we work with will support you in frequency if you choose to interact with that energy. So in Transcension Gate, if you remember when we originally built it, we had five Kaddish 2 races, right? We had Patal, the elven type, the humanoid-looking people. We had Jira, the plasmic fire beings. We had Kitri, the liquid type of beings. We had Oaum, the void type of beings. And who else did we have? And then we added Kital. That's another one that we added to that. So that's the sixth one. So all those different, oh, and Angeli, that was another one that we had. So they are still here. They are still holding the gate with us. All those beings are actually interacting with us. They are forever here within the gate because their essence went into the construction of the gate, which means you forever have access to either one of those Kaddish 2 beings, not necessarily the like smaller components of them, like more of the actual species that came out of them. But if you remember, Kaddish 2 are sort of not individualized as much. They're more of the bigger species, and they together form guardian host. So all the guardians together form one consciousness, essentially, that we could say is God. So we have access to components of God, components of that guardian host within our Transcension Gate. So let's look very quickly through who we had so far, just so you understand the vastness of what we have created. We had Pleiadian beings that came at some point to support the system and work with the victim release consciousness. We had Hyperboreans, right? That's another whole other race, you know, from Aesir. We had Shambhala interaction with the gate. We had Ameli, the Masters of Time from Aldebaran. We had Oaum Kaddish 2 themselves, obviously. We had Cetaceans from Sirius, the dolphin type of species. We had Martian energy and imprints that we were clearing up, some of the Martian codes, and we went back in time and forward in time, and we worked with Antarctica. We had Kishans, so much so that we actually activated this whole other pathway, and a Kital, which is the other guardian component, came into our gate. So we gained a sixth guardian out of that. That was incredible in itself, because Kishans have not interacted with any species on Earth prior to us since they left. So that was a really, really big deal. We also had all sorts of Ma'at imprints, that higher truth that we were working with. That is also in the gate. You have access to that. We also worked, of course, with Gaia and Pi. So you have those components as well, the seven-dimensional planetary energy, right? Gaia is 7D, and Pi is in the lower components of that, 1 through 3 to 4 a little bit, and Pi moved up further up, so they're kind of sharing the range. So we have access to all of that, which is incredible. We also worked with Abgal. If you remember, they are Syrian aquatic amphibian beings, so they are healing-oriented species. We have also worked on with Hathors from Venus and beyond that, so these species. We have worked with Jira guardians themselves, of course, and Patal guardians, and Angeli guardians, and Kitri guardians. We have worked with Sasquatch Nation. That is pretty rare. Mostly the native types of the Earthling soul groups can interact with them, but they very rarely interact with anyone else. So that was a treat. that we had Sasquatch Nation interact with us. Anshar, if you remember them, they sort of half human, half elven people that are on Earth now that came from our future. So we had them. That also was quite incredible. We had aliens from the 8th dimension and the 10th dimension and the beautiful big spheres. They still here in the solar system outside of Kuiper Belt. So they still exist here, just not as close to the Earth. But pretty much local. So there. We worked with Urma, with the quadruped Urma, with the Warrior clan Urma. So that was awesome as well. We have looked at Arcturians of a different frequency range as well. We have worked with really, really rare beings called Odd, if you remember them, with a triangular face, sort of golden triangle. That's very rare. Like, most people never even heard of them. Their frequency is incredible, and I know a lot of you had so much transformation by tuning into them. So that was another important component. We worked with crystalline entities. We worked with Kachina. We worked with Bear Nation. We worked with the Mantis, the insectoids. We work with so many different species, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. This is not even a full list. So all of that, think of it like it's an incredible library of energy imprints within Transcension Gate, fully available for you to play with. This is so you can increase your own syntropy, so you can become that sanctuary sphere that then resonates with the planet and all of us together, because it's all a hologram anyway, so we can mirror that. Become sanctuary spheres as a unit to then amplify further the planetary sanctuary sphere, so then Earth can become syntropic, which is the bigger point of Transcension Gate, besides the smaller point of giving you access to different frequencies.